One of my favorite movies is Chariots of Fire. And one of the scenes in that movie that most resonates in my memory is that scene where Eric Little, this gifted runner and Presbyterian evangelist, is talking with his sister Jenny in the Highlands of Scotland. And Jenny is so committed to Eric being a missionary to China that she's concerned that his running will distract him from this calling. And then there's this beautiful scene where Eric says to his sister, he says, "Jenny, God has made me to proclaim the gospel, but he has also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. God has made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." This is the theme of today's homily, the pleasure of God. In that reading from the letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul says at the heart of this reading the following: render service with enthusiasm as to the Lord. And as I said at the beginning of this Mass, the word enthusiasm is two Greek words, entheos, and entheos means in God. Enthusiasm. I feel his pleasure. At the very heart of our life as Christian people is this understanding that St. Paul wants to convey to us, that as we live our lives, entheos, with enthusiasm, when we live our lives in God, we will then be seeking to order our society in a way that is keeping with his purposes. If you were at Mass yesterday, or you read yesterday's reading from Ephesians, you'll remember that there St. Paul is talking about the relationship between husbands and wives. Today, he moves on to speak about the relationship between children and particularly their fathers. And what I find striking about this passage is not only, of course, the call to observe the fourth commandment, to honor one's father and mother, but what St. Paul then goes on to say next: fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but rather bring them up in the discipline and in the instruction of the Lord. Think about this. In the first century, children were not even considered fully human. And here, St. Paul is saying to fathers, treat your children not in a way that you provoke them to anger, but so they can grow as disciples of Jesus as you seek to instruct them in the ways of the Lord. He then goes on to speak about slaves seeking to serve their masters as if they are serving Christ himself. But listen to what St. Paul then says to those who are the masters. And masters, do the same to your slaves. Stop threatening them, which would be the norm, right, for a master to threaten his slave. But St. Paul says, no, do not live like that, because you all have the same master in heaven where there is no partiality. There's a remarkable thing that can happen when the people of God seek to live with enthusiasm, seek to live for the pleasure of God. We recognize that in the course of our daily lives, when we're interacting with any human being, we are actually, most importantly, interacting with God himself, the one we cannot see. And how is this to inspire us? Well, I think our reading from the gospel gives us an answer. It's so interesting that a person comes to Jesus and says, "So Lord, will many be saved?" And Jesus does not give a mathematical calculation. "Yes, I think it's going to be about 65%. He doesn't do that. Rather, what he says is, you in your life, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Now, what does this mean? In the Middle East, there would be walled cities, and some cities would have very large gates through which you could go with your camel and all of the things that the camel was carrying. There were other gates that were pedestrian gates. You couldn't get your camel through that gate. It would only be the person who would go through that gate. And so part of what Jesus is saying here, don't go through the wide gate where you're encumbered with all sorts of stuff. but go through the narrow gate where you as a person, as an individual, are saying, I choose to live for God. I choose to live with enthusiasm. For as Jesus goes on to tell us with the parable that follows, there will be a reckoning that we will all at the end face. And what the Lord wants for each one of us is not trying to live casually and carelessly, but living purposefully and single-heartedly. God has made me fast, and I run for his pleasure. Eric Little lived this kind of life, a life of meaning, a life of purpose, a life of direction. Let me end with this story. There was a woman who, in this world, had so much stuff that it weighed her down. She was very wealthy. She lived in a big home, but her life was preoccupied with herself. And so when she died and went to heaven, her guardian angel accompanied her. And they went by all of these mansions thinking, oh, that's going to be for me. And they kept going until they got to the outskirts of the city. And the guardian angel showed her this hut and said, this is your home. And she said, I can't live there. And the guardian angel's response was, madam, I am so sorry. When you were down below, this is all the material you gave to us. When you were down below, this was all the material you gave to us. How we live each and every day, says Jesus Christ, makes all the difference to our eternity. And of course, that is centered in him, entheos, to be in Christ, to be in God. But as we live from that center, then whatever we're doing, everything is of significance as we strive to enter through the narrow gate. May you this day keep in your heart and mind that whatever you do for God. And may you be aware of his pleasure, touching your heart, your life, your soul.